So when I was in college, it was a time when I was at, you heard some of my story, just, you know, super broken background with just my dad leaving when I was 12, just a lot of family domestic stuff going on. I was abused in different ways when I was a kid. So when I was in college, it was a time when I think that stuff just couldn't stay in anymore. And I was just beginning kind of like bleed out the side internally. And like I had PTSD, I had all this stuff come up in college. And I shared before, I was in our prayer chapel on campus. And I was like pleading with God, take all this away from me. And such a clear response. He said, I won't take it away, but I'll walk with you through it. And I knew in that moment I had a choice. I could either go his way or I could do my own thing. And so I said, okay, Jesus, I'll go your way. And he began to unravel a series of events that took place. And one of them was going to counseling. So I'd never been in counseling before, but in college I was in counseling for 2.5 years just to work through my stuff. And I remember the first counselor I saw, she was an intern on campus. And I was telling her about like what I was experiencing just like emotionally. And I didn't understand spiritual dynamics then, the spiritual or anything like that. I just thought it was all emotional. She's like, hey, in my counseling, I can't help you with spiritual things, but hey, you should read this book. And I don't know if you've heard of the book Bondage Breaker by Neil Anderson. That was the first book on like spiritual dynamics, spiritual warfare I had ever read. I had read the book, I'm like, this is my life. Like, I didn't understand like so much of the stuff that was going on in me was actually spiritual warfare. And God began to open my eyes. Oh, it's just, not just emotional or physical or like relational stuff. There's a spiritual battle going on that's also influencing you and impacting you in your process towards freedom and healing and wholeness that Jesus has. So in college, when I read that book, it was the first time my eyes were opened, like, oh, there's more going on here than just the natural. And God began to give me understanding of the spiritual. And so we're starting a new series, studying together as Enriched Church, on Jesus's healing and deliverance ministry. So we saw in the scriptures today, Jesus, he wants to heal anyone that comes to him, right? So there's a physical healing we looked at, and there was also the spiritual freedom that took place. So we're going to look at the scriptures. What does the Bible say about Jesus, and how does he want to do that? Not only for people in the Bible, but for people today in our context. So we'll jump into Matthew 8, and we'll read verses 14 and 15, and we'll work through it together. When Jesus arrived at Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. But when Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her. Then she got up and prepared a meal for him. So if you looked at the scriptures around this, in the couple of chapters prior, chapters 5 through 7, Jesus was called the Sermon on the Mount. So he did a really long teaching. And so think about the context of this. Jesus came out of the temptation in Matthew chapter 4. He did the 40-day fast, overcame Satan, and then he was launched into his ministry that started. And he started it by doing a ton of teaching about what really is the kingdom of God. Then after he did the teaching, if you read the whole chapter before and then going into this, he starts doing a whole bunch of healing miracles. So think about Jesus' ministry. Started off with fasting and prayer, with a lot of spiritual warfare. And then he started teaching with authority. And then he started demonstrating who he is by validating his teaching through his healing and freedom, spiritual freedom ministry. So Jesus, he has the whole package. He's the real deal, right? So he overcomes Satan. He sets example for us in fasting and prayer. He teaches with authority about what the kingdom really is. And then he demonstrates the kingdom in his life. So Jesus starts to demonstrate his authority over every sickness, over every disease, and over every demon. And one of the ways that Jesus does this is he shows up at Peter's house. So Peter's one of his dudes. He's in his crew. And, you know, just picture Jesus walking in the house. He's like, hey, I heard your mom's here. Oh, yeah, she's like, she's sick in bed. She has a fever. What does Jesus do? You know, he doesn't stay away from the sick person. I don't want her fever. I don't want what she's got. He steps right into her situation. So just imagine and envision like Jesus walking into the room where she is. He probably kneels down to meet her face to face. And what does the scripture say he does? He just simply touches her. Like in this instance, he doesn't even speak. He simply touches her. And Jesus's touch on her body brings instant healing. So that fever, whatever that sickness was in her body, it instantly leaves. And what was her response? Yeah, she got up to surf. She's like, well, Jesus healed me. I'm out of bed. I'm happy to be out of bed. I'm going to start using my life for purpose, right? So when she gets healed, she turns around and starts serving Jesus in that instance. So Jesus, he stepped into her situation rather than turning away from it. So hear that. Jesus is going to step into your situation. And he had, as he had the solution for Peter's mom, he has a solution for you. All right, so as he had the solution for Peter's mom with a touch, what is Jesus' solution for you to bring healing and wholeness and spiritual freedom to your life? I remember we hadn't even started the park yet as a church. And I don't know if you've ever been to Just Deals in Glendora. It's like a discount store. Highly recommend it. You get crazy cheap organic food like from Sprouts that they, you know, send there, and then you get it for like 99 cents for a big thing of strawberries that costs like $8 at Sprouts. I remember I was standing in the fridge section looking at all the fruit and stuff, and there were two people next to me, and I just felt like I should ask them if they want prayer. So I just turned and said, hey, I'm here to see if anyone wants prayer for anything. And it was a mom and a son. The son was probably around like, I don't know, 20, early 20s. And he's like, yeah, I want prayer. He's like, I can't really see. He's, I don't know if he was legally blind, but he's like, I can't even read anything that's right in front of me. I said, okay, well, how about this? What can't you read? He's like, I can't read that writing on like the fruit packaging. So I said, I'm gonna pray for you in the name of Jesus. And then I want you just to see if you can read it. So I just said, in the name of Jesus, I command your eyes to be healed. I command your vision to return. I said, okay, blink your eyes. I don't know. I just like, blink your eyes. What does that do? The act of faith, right? He's testing it. And I said, read the packaging. And you know what he does? He starts reading the packaging. The next thing he does is he starts bawling. His mom starts bawling because he couldn't see for the longest time. It had impacted their family. They told me more of their story of how it, like, really, he couldn't work. Like, he just lost his life. But Jesus was there at the grocery store. I was there at the grocery store, right? And with Jesus living in us, what did Jesus do with Peter's mom? He stepped into the situation because Jesus had the solution. And if you have Jesus in you, you have the solution to everybody's physical ailments, right? So I just prayed, and then I got out of the way, and I just said, blink your eyes and read it. And I just, Jesus does his thing, right? So he's looking for people like us who are willing just to step into people's situations and pray, and then let Jesus decide what he's going to do. So Jesus heals every sickness and every disease. It's not a problem for him. It's actually pretty easy. So let's look at verses 16 and 17. That evening, many demon-possessed, or the Greek word is actually demonized, so they had a demon, people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple command, and he healed all the sick. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, he took our sicknesses and he removed our diseases. So not only did Jesus step into someone's situation who had a physical ailment, now they had spiritual ailments. And when we look at the biblical reality here, the Bible says people, they have demons, right? So just as they have sicknesses, they have diseases, they have demons. Anyone know what a demon is? Okay, yeah. I'm going to give you a really simple, if you had to like, just what is this thing? It is a person without a body. And what I mean by that is they have a mind, will, and emotion. So if you look at creation from Genesis all the way through Revelation, there are humans like us. There are other species that God has created, angels, the ones that disobeyed God, and they were cast out of heaven, they became demons, and they just were filled with utter darkness and evil, right? So we see in this situation that demons were afflicting people, whether they were afflicting their body from the outside, whether they were on the inside. In the end, for me, I don't think it really matters where the demon is. I think it's like, how do you help the person just get free, right? And so I don't think you really have to really dive into it. Where's it at? All these things. It's okay. They have a demon. Jesus, what's your solution? So notice Jesus stepped into their problem too. They have demons. Jesus didn't step away from it. He actually stepped towards it and he wanted to bring them freedom. So the word demon possessed here, when you read it, the Greek is actually going to say demonization or to have a demon. And what it simply means is this. They are under the power or influence of a demon. That's all that it means. So just as someone has a sickness or disease, they can have a demon that affects and influences their body. So the Bible reveals a spiritual reality and worldview that is contrary to our Western worldview. Because those of you that are, you know, in college right now, or you're working in education, or just you're, maybe you're in business, like, the spiritual realm is not something that's often talked about. But it, the biblical reality will say that there is a spiritual world that overlaps our physical world. Because when you read the scriptures in Genesis, and you read through, it talks about Satan got kicked out of heaven. Where did he get kicked down to? The earth. You're like, God, why did you send him to earth? This is like the worst place, right? And now we all got to deal with this guy. Because Adam and Eve made that mistake, right, of sinning and giving into him. So if you're able to see right now past our physical realm into the spiritual reality, so the spiritual reality is just as real as everything you see here around you. There's a spiritual reality that overlays our physical world. And that's what the Bible says about its worldview. So Jesus begins to demonstrate his authority over sickness, disease, and the demonic over the spiritual world. So the same Jesus that we read about here in Matthew chapter 8, if you believe in him, he lives in you. So the same Jesus you read out in the scriptures lives in you. And so I hope you're getting kicked dots. Well, if Jesus can heal people and set them free, I could do the same thing because Jesus lives in me. So remember that young guy I told you about where he could see after I prayed for him? Like, I didn't heal him at all. I just prayed in the name of Jesus, and Jesus chose to heal him in that moment. And you'll hear more stories the next weeks, but like healing and stuff like that's like, it's semi-common for my life. Like, as I go, I just pray for people, and Jesus shows up. What I found is if I've prayed for people one or multiple times and they're not healed, there's usually a spiritual issue almost every time. Because like healing has become so common for me when I pray for people. When it doesn't happen instantly or like progressively, there's always a spiritual block that's taking place, and we have to remove that spiritual block. And Jesus is so awesome. Did you see how he casts out the spirit, the evil spirit, the demon? It was a simple word or a simple command. He just said, leave. And it left. And in my experiences, that's actually the same, but I do a little differently. I just say, in the name of Jesus, leave. Because they're not going to listen to me. They're like, who are you, right? We know Paul, we know Jesus, but who are you, right? So in this, we say, in the name of Jesus, and then they will submit because Jesus is king. So Jesus healed all the sick that were brought for him. When you see this quoting Isaiah here, it's from Isaiah 53. So if you want to write this down, it's from Isaiah 53. Verses 4 through 6. So Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6. And I'll read it to you so you can hear it. So it's quoting the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah, of what Jesus is fulfilling. It said, yet it was our sicknesses he carried. It was our sorrows, like, or our emotional stuff that weighed him down. We thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion and crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be made whole. He was whipped so we could be made healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own, yet the Lord has laid on him the sins of us all. Man, if we could grasp what that means, Jesus took every sickness, every disease, every emotional issue, every spiritual issue, and he took it on the cross. So if he took all that stuff on the cross, which it says here in verse 17, to fulfill it through the prophet Isaiah, he took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. What does that mean for us? What is our right as a son or a daughter of God? Healing. Exactly, right? It's part of God's covenant blessings through Jesus. It's actually his healing. And I know there's intricacies of like Laura Starr is perfect, right? It took a year for her miracle to actually manifest and take place. And I shared my ankle getting healed. It was a year of like crying out to God to heal my ankle before he instantly healed my ankle and I was able to have my body back again. So sometimes there's a period of time that God is doing work in us. This is also referencing what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:24. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds we are healed. So just as much as Jesus carried our sins on the cross, he actually carried our sicknesses. So just as you're forgiven of sin, Jesus can heal you of sickness and disease and demonization. So Jesus heals the whole person. I remember when I was at this this conference, and with all these church planters, and we had gathered back at our hotel, and we were going to have like this like an intimate time of praying. And I was sitting there, and a guy who was brought with another team, he was talking about, he was talking about some personal things, I'll just say, that men deal with. And he had some stuff go on, like that night in dreams at the hotel. And I was sitting there, and I was like, man, do I tell this guy, like, what's really going on with him? Or do I just not say anything, and, like, he just goes on with his life? The conflict inside of me was, I'm filled in a room with people who don't believe in the spiritual realm, even though they're pastors, and some that do. Do I really want to open this up? Because sometimes it can be just be more problems than not, just depending on the people and context. But I was like, man, if this guy goes his whole life without being set free from this spiritual stuff, he's going to live his whole life in bondage. So I was like, okay. So I just say, hey, bro, can I like share with you what I think's going on with you? And this is a room of like 20 people, 25 people. And I said, you're sharing all these, you know, different things that are going on with you. This is actually all spiritual. And I began to explain to him from a biblical perspective how evil spirits can access people's life through their sin or the sin of their ancestors. And so I said, hey, bro, if you want to be free right now, we can pray and you can get free. And so we also have to understand authority structure in those situations. So I was not an authority. There were other people that were running that gathering. And so I looked to that authority. I said, hey, can I help him get free? And I was given permission by the authority in the room, which then opens up the whole room to receive ministry. And so basically what I had this guy do, I had him confess, if he wanted to, right? You're invited to do this. He confessed his sins that he had committed, and he confessed the sins of his ancestors he knew about who'd also committed those sins. And then he renounced them from his life. I prayed over them and broke them, the influence of the control I had over him. And then I commanded that type of spirit, just because we have some kiddos here. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That type of spirit to lead his life and never return. When I commanded that, when I was praying over him, he began to like shake and make some weird noises. And so I just said, in the name of Jesus, be at peace. Don't interfere. Speaking to the spirit, right? When I pray for people for freedom, I've only seen a couple like manifestations of evil spirits. It's usually very peaceful. When we pray for people for freedom, most people say this, I feel lighter. Like, I just feel like something left me. I feel lighter. It's like the main thing we hear. And that's usually them being set free, right? And so it's not a show in any way. It's Jesus' authority establishing his peace here on the earth and people being set free in peace. And then going back to that situation, hotel, praying in the room. And I command it to leave. You know what he says? I feel lighter. I feel like something just left me. And it was funny because later on, I learned I was actually set up. They wanted me to minister to that guy and other people in the room. They wanted people to see what it's like for people to receive freedom and healing and deliverance from Jesus. And God actually used that to open up a lot more ministry opportunity with that church planning organization. So God had all these plans. And what was, I look back and I realize why the Holy Spirit allowed that evil spirit to manifest strongly in that guy is because the Holy Spirit wanted everybody in that room to see it was real. Because if they were like, oh, nothing happened, but they all knew this guy, reputable person, and he did some weird things in his body when I was praying over him. It wasn't him, it was the spirit in his body leaving. They wouldn't have believed it. But because the guy was reputable and he had some weird things when that spirit was leaving, they're like, oh, this is real. What the Bible says is real, right? And so he got free. And here's the thing, like, the main thing is the fruit, right? So evil, when I teach on spiritual freedom, what I open up for, the first thing I say is like, demons are never the problem. And people are like, what? Isn't that what you're supposed to do, is cast demons? I said, demons are never the problem. the problem is like why they're there. And if you can address the reason why they're there, then they leave instantly. Like there's no reason for them to be there. So if you think about it like this, like rats and garbage, if you have garbage in your house, which hopefully no one's here is like a hoarder or has like a ton of garbage, but if you have garbage in your house and it's like all over the floor, rats are going to come in most likely and eat the garbage. If you just keep kicking the rats and get them out, they're going to keep coming back because there's garbage. But if you remove the garbage from your house, there's nothing for the rats to come back to. In the same way, the analogy is if you remove the garbage from your life, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, whatever that is, then there's no reason for the evil spirits to be there. So if we command them to leave in Jesus' name, they leave so peacefully. And I don't know if y'all watch this stuff on YouTube, which actually I've written here. Don't use YouTube, read the Bible, literally, in underline. Like, because the stuff you'll see on YouTube, a lot of it is show, there's all this stuff. And when I read the Bible, it's like, Jesus does it, it's done. Like, when we help people get free from evil spirits, there's no show. Like, it is a simple, they leave, it's so peaceful. I remember when I was in seminary getting trained in this stuff, which they, at Fuller, they had a class on this, which was really cool. It was inner healing, intercultural ministry, taught from a Muslim background perspective, which was really unique. And they were telling this story about this guy who's doing spiritual freedom going through like some Indonesian churches, and they're at this conference. And the guy handed out trash bags to everyone, or like little bags. And then when the guy like committed evil spirits, they all threw up in these trash bags. And then I had my hand for a question, but the prof was like, "Hey, Jared, your hand's up. Like, why did that happen?" And I was like, "Oh my gosh, I don't know. I had a question." I took a guess. I said, "Well, the demons are going to submit to the authority of the person doing the freedom." He said, "Exactly." He said, "Because he handed out trash bags and he commanded them to leave in that way, so that's what they did." So when you help people get free, if you command them to leave peacefully, guess what they're going to do? Leave peacefully, because you have the authority over them, because Jesus lives in you. So Jesus, he loves to heal people. He loves to set them free. Like it says in the Bible here, he carried all that stuff so we could be healed and free. He wants us to walk in healing and freedom. And I'll be like honest on my journey. Like I still have a gluten allergy, and I prayed, fasted to get, I haven't been healed yet. And I got gluten by a restaurant the other week and it really messed me up. But I have been healed of my ankle instantly being healed after a year of pressing in, and I got my body back. Like I remember one time too, this is when I lived on campus, worked at a university. My daughter had this like really bad like skin rash all over her body. And I was like 3 or 4 a.m. I was in there because she woke up. It was affecting her. I remember I was just laying hands and praying for her for a long time. And I totally fell asleep. I was so tired. It was like 5 a.m. I fell asleep finally. And I woke up and I looked at her body and guess what was gone? The whole skin rash over her body was gone. And I was like, whoa. I'd never seen a skin rash leave a body. It was covered. Her whole body was gone. And I was like, okay, that's cool. Thank you, Jesus. And then there's people I pray for, like, they don't get healed. I remember one time in Marathon, we were invited to pray for someone who was dying of cancer. We went and prayed for them for healing, and guess what happened the next week? They died. And I was like, dang. I was like, we prayed. Like, Lord, we sought you. And so sometimes, like, there's the unknown, right? We just don't know why someone doesn't get healed. And so I'm just being honest with you. Like, my own journey, I don't always know. But when I read the scriptures, Jesus heals people. And just because my life doesn't look like the Bible doesn't mean this should be my life. My life should align with what the Bible says. And so if my life is out of line with the Bible, okay, I say, Jesus, how do I get my life in line with your word? And I pursue it and seek it, right? And even though we might not see it for a period of time, we press in. So just like you resist sin in your life, we have to resist sickness and disease as well. Because sin is an entity, right? It's in all of humanity. It's in creation because of the brokenness of the choice of Adam and Eve. It permeated everything. In the same way, sin permeated everything, sickness and disease does too. You actually need to resist sickness and disease. The Bible also says in James chapter 4, verses, I think it's 6 and 7, it says to submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. So Jesus says, resist sin, right? Hebrews 12. He says, resist the devil, And he also says, resist sickness and disease. It is an outside entity attacking your life, right? And so we have to take our stand against these things. The whole point of healing, freedom, deliverance, whatever label you want to put on it, is simply this. It is to support the discipleship process. It is to support the discipleship process. In some of my training I received, healing was the end. It was like, just go after healing. And it was like, oh, people get healed. I've seen all these crazy healings. And it was like, I remember one time I challenged this healing evangelist because they were just going after healing everywhere they would go. But they would not share the gospel with people. And see, people were still going to hell even though they got healed physically. They didn't come to believe in Jesus. And so I really challenged this person. I said, hey, when you like pray for people and get healed, like you got to share the gospel. They have to know who this Jesus is that healed them, or else like, what's the point? They were offended at first, but later on they started they got it, right? I need to share the gospel with this Jesus who's healing them. So when we pray for people for healing and for freedom, it supports the discipleship process, which is, I'll say to you, is it's just simply commitment and obedience to Jesus. It helps us to grow in our commitment and obedience to him. And he paid for it all. So he wants us to be free, and it strengthens our relationship with him through commitment and obedience. So I encourage you, when you're growing in this stuff for healing and freedom, don't watch YouTube. Like, just read the scriptures, because the Holy Spirit will speak to you through the word, and the word of God is powerful. And when you get the revelation or understanding of the word, it'll transform you from the inside out, and you'll walk in it more fully. And so some of you who, how many of you have been through our Healed and Made Whole discipleship process, the yellow folder? Yeah, a handful. Oh yeah, a big handful of people. Like, that's the stuff where it cleans out your emotional baggage, right? So you forgive people, you resolve your personal sin, you repent of rebellion, you deal with like intimacy issues, because we have some kids here. You deal with like occult and generational things, and you deal with surrender. So those are the main things, the seven things I think all of humanity everywhere deals with. And when you can clean sweep a deep study of God's word and then praying through those things, how many of you receive some like pretty good healing and freedom through doing Heal Made Whole? Right? Lots of heads, hands. Yeah. And I did too. So I went through all that stuff and got so free. And so if you're part of Enrich and you're like, man, I want to jump into discipleship, and you haven't gone through Healed and Made Whole, like, plug in and do it, because Jesus will radically transform your life. And the cool thing is, it doesn't stay with you. Like, it starts to spread to those in your life, because you're like, yeah, I know how to forgive people. Hey, can I help you forgive that person who hurt you? We can pray a simple prayer right now. Yeah. And then they're like, oh my gosh, I feel free. You can take these tools everywhere that you go. And Healed and Made Whole not only brings the emotional healing, it brings that spiritual freedom too. So it helps you get free from the spiritual stuff. All right, how many of y'all want to live this out? How many are like, I want to pray for people and see Jesus heal them? Okay, I have a really simple piece of paper I'm going to hand out to everyone. You're like, there, Jared, this is the smallest piece of paper you can. You usually hand us big ones. If you guys can just pass those around. Oh, can I have one too, please? Thanks, Josh. So when you get this, it says 5-step physical healing model, because people are often like, okay, Jared, like Jesus is healing people physically. You're saying I'm supposed to do it. So how do I actually do it? So here's like a really simple, like just process you can do with people. So you can see as I go through this, like this is what I did with the guy at the store who couldn't see. I just ask people, like, what do you want Jesus to do? I want Jesus to heal me, or I want, like, right? Okay, awesome. And then you can ask them, like, hey, what's your, like, pain or mobility level or vision level? Remember I asked the guy, like, hey, what can't you read? He's like, I can't read that in front of me. Okay, so I had an idea, like, if you are going to get healed, like, we'll know what the difference is. Three here is, like, you just pray. So you command healing in the name of Jesus. We look at some other scriptures if you want to write them down. Luke chapter 9 verses 1 and 2 and Matthew chapter 10 verses 1 and 2 and verse 8. Jesus says, like, you heal the people. So he gives you the command, you command it in his name. And so I commanded the eyes to be healed in the name of Jesus. Sight return in Jesus' name. And it came back. And then you have them test it out. Have them do what they couldn't do before. Because when they test it out, that is their act of faith, of believing that Jesus is going to do that. And you want to have them do something that they're comfortable doing. Like, you just want to make sure like they're not going to like do something too crazy where if they didn't get healed for some reason, they're not going to like hurt themselves more. So say what you're comfortable doing. Test it out. And then guide. Number five here is post-prayer suggestions. I remember when I got my ankle got healed, I was leaving where I got prayed for. I had this thought come to my mind when I was walking away. It was a simple, clear thought. It said, you weren't healed. And I thought to myself, no, I'm walking like I'm healed. And I just fluffed it off. Could you imagine if I would have believed that thought? Oh, I wasn't healed. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus comes to give fullness of life. And so just as Satan can afflict people with sicknesses and diseases, he can attempt to steal our healing if we give him permission to do so. So I just, oh, I'm healed. I pushed that thought away, and it never came back. You can see here the role of testimony or scriptural explanation to boost faith. As we went through the Word, we explained why Jesus heals, because he took it all on the cross for you, and you had to just simply receive what he's done on your behalf. All right, I've told a lot of testimonies of people's healing and freedom to boost your faith and expand understanding. Also, be relational with people. Really care about them. Because when people we've prayed for, like when they don't get healed, you know what they'll often say? I feel so loved. Like if they feel loved by you and by God when you're praying for them, that's the goal, the hope, is they feel God's love. And balancing grace and truth. Because some people will be like, man, God isn't going to heal me. Well, I'm going to challenge that with God's truth. Well, God says here in the Word that he's actually already carried your sicknesses and diseases, and let me tell you how he healed me. So he could do it for you too, right? So you balance the grace and the truth, encouraging people and helping them believe. And then retaining and contending for healing, John 10:10, we had talked about that. So when you pray for people, if you're like, man, how do I do this? You can keep this in your pocket. You're like, all right, let me pull it out. All right, what do you want Jesus to do? Or you can just kind of internalize it, right, and develop your approach. But what this does is it gives you opportunity. And I'll tell you this, if you pray for people or for yourself and you don't see the healing you expect, don't give up. Don't give up. Just keep believing, keep pressing in until you see Jesus start to do those things in your life. At this point, oh man, we've probably seen hundreds of people physically healed as we've prayed for them. Tons of emotional freedom, tons of spiritual freedom from that stuff. It's just a normal part of our lives now as a family. But it supports the discipleship process. That's the whole goal. It brings people closer to Jesus in commitment and obedience to him. All right, so as you guys did the DBS, you got in the Word, you heard some things that I shared from my own life, from the Scriptures. I want you to write down, how will you obey Jesus this week? Based upon like what God has been speaking to you during this time, write down, how will you obey him? How will you apply it to your life? And then who's the one person that you can share with this week to encourage them from what you've learned today? So go ahead and write down, how will you obey or apply it to your life, and who will you share with? And then once you do that, share that with the person next to you. All right, hopefully you've had a chance to share how you'll obey this week, you'll live it out, and then who you'll share with. I'm going to pray us out, but I would encourage you, if you want prayer for healing today before you leave, come find me, and what I'll probably do is like I'll form you with a team, or if you're like, the group I'm in with DBS, I want prayer from them. Like, you got the little hand out there, and you know how to just try it out. So remember, practice makes easier. The more you practice, the easier it'll get. And the more normal it'll become. So let me pray over us. And two, when I pray, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to activate faith and also a gift of healing and miracles. So if you're really wanting to grow in those, you can just receive that from the Spirit of God. So Jesus, we're so grateful for this morning. Thanks for the beautiful rain before we got here and giving us some really pretty much clear skies right now. We're thankful for your blessings over our time. And Jesus, thank you for your Word, that you heal people. body, soul, spirit, relationships, sexuality, finances. You heal the whole person. And so we want to see you heal people, Jesus, for the purpose of like people getting their bodies back, getting their lives back, and that they would live in the peace and the freedom that you've already purchased for them on the cross. Thank you for Laura's testimony with her healing of her heart and her family walking through that for a year and knowing that this is a real life, like in the moment this happened in our community. And there's other people who here have been healed. And so, Jesus, we just want to see that be normal. We want to see people be set free emotionally from trauma and just stuff that's happened for whatever reasons as well, and people be set free spiritually. And so, Jesus, would that become normal for us? And I pray, too, as we pray at the end, people who stick around want prayer, that you would show your love to them in just a really cool way. And we know, Holy Spirit, that your word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that you give spiritual gifts to people, especially those who ask them for them, 1 Corinthians 14:1. And so, Holy Spirit, ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would release and activate gifts of faith and healing and miracles. I declare those activated right now in the name of Jesus in your life. And Jesus, would you release an increased measure and river of grace for people to grow in those in a maturity and to see that become normal for them so that people can grow in their relationship with you, Jesus, or come to know you for the first time and believe and be baptized. And so, Jesus, would you bless our community as we go out? Would you align the divine appointments you have for us this week? For the people that you want us to pray for healing and for freedom, would that become normal for everyone as we go for people's wholeness in you? Jesus, thank you for your protection over everyone here and our respective families and loved ones. We declare we are under the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, would you release your angels to everyone here today for this week for your purposes? We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.